music was just breathtaking. Mm. From, what is it, your voice to God's ears? Thank you. The Old Testament reading this morning is Micah 6, 6 to 8, and may be found on page 866 in your pew Bible. This is what God requires. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The New Testament reading is Matthew 28, 16 to 20, which can be found on page 34 in your pew Bible. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Do you want me to read that?
You're good. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Okay, if you look at your bulletin, I must have given you the wrong scriptures. That is my bust. So what I want you to do is I want you to open your Bibles and I want you to look in Luke chapter 18. The Matthew piece is that great commission. The Matthew piece is certainly very powerful, but we're getting two readings. That Micah 6:8 piece, that is much better than the Joel, I'm here to tell you. What is it that we should do to know justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our Lord? That's perfect. As we turn to chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, it's very short, but it's very, very powerful when we look at what Jesus has told us to do in Matthew 28, go and preach. This is a conversation that Jesus is having with a group of Pharisees. We know that as Jesus was in his teaching ministry, oftentimes people, once they recognized that he was performing miracles and that he certainly was a man who taught, a rabbi, a teacher, and people started to come. Well, as people came to hear him, there were a group of people, Pharisees and Sadducees, those of the leaders and those of the leaders of the Jewish faith came to listen, but they came not to listen. Some came to listen to find what he had to say, but some were there to find a way to trap him. The Pharisees, we know that Paul, and it's interesting that this comes out in this regard, because Luke, we know, the great physician, a physician, was a good friend of Paul's. Paul was a Pharisee's Pharisee. Paul, the Pharisees were ones who saw the letter of the law, the Mosaic law, Deuteronomy, followed it expressly to the letter, even to the point where it became painful in their lives and the lives of people that they know because they followed the letter of the law. Well, sometimes the problem was they thought that because they followed the letter of the law, they were made perfect before God because they had followed the law. Well, Scripture tells us, and Jesus himself tells them, look, if you're looking to follow the law and count that as your blessing, it's going to be a condemnation because no one can follow the law completely. If we count on our ability to follow the law and never have a violation, never deviate, never sin, it's not happening. I don't think I made it through. No, we won't even talk about that. You know, if I look at, you know, from high school to the first 10 years in the Navy, give me a break. No way. But none of us, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. Well, the challenge is, if you can't follow the precepts of the law, there has to be a way to be justified, to be made right wise, to be put in a right relationship with God the Father. Because what are the wages of sin? Death. And if we've sinned, and all of us have sinned, where are we going? Hell. Death. So there's got to be a promise, and that promise that Jesus gives us is that what he has done saves us. What he has done on the cross has restored us to that right relationship. He justifies us. We are not self-righteous because we can't be made righteous by ourselves. We end up being self-righteous in, you know, and that's not even close to being right-wise with God in a right relationship. It's interesting that this parable that Jesus gives to these Pharisees is such that the Pharisees would be right in there, and don't laugh too much when you hear this. Verse 9, he also told this parable to some who had trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Now, that's the Pharisees. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. That, ooh, evil, bad, foul publican. I'd be hitting myself on that one because that's what I are. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee. Can you imagine this? The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus to God. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. Self-righteous. All the good things that he's done. And, oh, thank God, I'm not like one of you. The tax collector, standing far off, not even looking up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus turns the Pharisees' world on its head. Yes. Jesus also says, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill the law. Jesus has said, the Pharisees and Sadducees have gotten so far down the road to following the letter of the law, they don't even realize when they can't follow the letter of the law. Because Micah 6:8 tells us what? To know justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. If that Pharisee is standing there saying, thank God I am so holy and self-righteous, where's the humility? Walk humbly? Not happening. Not in that one. And they had gotten to the point, and Paul himself, this good friend of Luke's, was so down that road that he was taking the early followers of the way in chains, condemning them because they were following Jesus Christ, because he thought it was the right thing to do. He was following the Mosaic law. He was following Deuteronomy. He was following the letter of the law. And Jesus comes and says, love one another. So many times he said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill or commit murder. And Jesus said, if you have enmity or hate towards your neighbor, that's just as bad, because the root of that, the motive behind murdering someone, taking someone's life unnecessarily, is either greed or avarice or a desire for something that that person has. And that's certainly not loving your neighbor. So many of the letter of the law that we get so wrapped up into is when we start to get to the point where we think we follow the letter of the law, but we make little excuses for our deviating from the true letter of the law. Well, but I'm doing this, so I'm okay. You know, he said he's fasted twice a week. He's praying constantly. Well, when was the last time he gave alms to the poor? When was the last time he got down on his hands and knees and recognized how humble he is? When we count on our own self-righteousness, where are we going? If we're counting on what we have done or what we can do to get us into a right relationship with our Father, the Creator, then what we do is say what Jesus Christ did on the cross was unnecessary. Because if you or I could do it, if there was a way for any one of us to live a perfect enough life that we could be in a right relationship with God, then Jesus died on the cross in vain for us. Why did he do that? You know, we know Enoch and we know Elijah. Enoch walked with God and was not. Elijah, the fiery chariot, came down. Those were special people. But neither one of those was without blame, without sin. They just walked with God. They followed God more than anyone else, and God lifted them up. You and I count on Jesus to justify us. Jesus says at the end of that man, that publican, that tax collector, goes home justified. The Pharisee was out there looking at being self-righteous. He thought he had made himself in a right condition, a right relationship with God, because of all of the things that he'd done. He had followed the letter of the law. And the tax collector recognized that his life was one where he was not doing what God wanted him to do. He wasn't walking humbly. Know justice, love mercy, walk humbly. Those are the things that are most difficult to do. Because when we think we can get into heaven because of our merit, because of what we have done, doesn't that cheapen heaven? Doesn't that lessen heaven? Because if, as challenged as I am in so many different ways, if there were any way that I could get there by my own merit, that's not a very high bar. I'm here to tell you, and if you're looking in the mirror every morning like I am, looking back at that face, and nobody knows you better than you and God, and even God knows you better than you know yourself, because there are some things you aren't willing to accept about yourself, but God knows them. And he loves you anyway. He loves you in spite of that. He went to the cross for all of the deeds that you've done. And not just yours, mine, and everyone here's. God makes us, through Christ Jesus, through his sacrifice, justified. In James, he says, the prayers of a righteous man count for much. Our prayers count for much, but you know who makes us righteous? It's not a self-righteous man. It doesn't say, James doesn't say the prayers of a self-righteous man count for much. And in the man, it's humanity. It's not just a guy. It's men and women. It's humanity, all of us. Prayers of a righteous humanity count for much. And that's not self-righteous, but made righteous. Now, how do we become righteous? Everybody knows Romans 10, 9, 10. Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you will be saved. That's how we are justified. Christ Jesus justifies us, brings us into a right relationship with God the Father so that we can be with Him for an eternity. Now, who's doing the work there? Who's doing the lifting? Who's the one that hung on the cross for 6 hours? Who's the one who said they would never desert you or leave you? That He would be with you always to the end of the earth. Christ Jesus did. In His parable, in that example, here's the Pharisee who thought that, and believe me, let's not throw too many stones at that Pharisee. Because there are a bunch of us out here who at one time or another in our lives thought, I can get there by my merits. I'm doing all the right things. I'm saying all of the right things. I'm in the right place. I know the right people. I'm doing all of these things correctly. And I can get there. But we all have to be that tax collector when reality sets in. When the reality of all of the things that we thought we were doing because we were doing it for the wrong reason. We're doing it because, well, that's what the law says to do. No, what Jesus wants us to do is to be doing the right thing because our hearts tell us to know justice. To know justice is to know what is right to be done. To love mercy is to see someone in need of mercy. See someone who's in need of care. See someone who's in need of assistance. And do something about it. Not from a self-righteous, holier-than-thou, but right down there on the same level as they are. You know, the wonderful facet of the food ministry, the food bank, is when the families go in there and sit at those tables, you know what? The people sit right down at the tables right next to them and talk to them. They're on the same level. Nobody's better than. Now, granted, there are some people that are up and walking around, but they're picking up the groceries and bringing them over. But every one of those people is treated with dignity. No justice, love, mercy. Walk humbly. When you think about 500 bags that got put out in all those different homes and all the people walking down the streets and getting dogs barking at us and worrying a little bit about that, but not too much, and leaving the bags and then coming back the next week. You know what? Where was our expectation? Our expectation had been set by prior information. We know we put 500 bags out. We usually get anywhere from 200, 150, 180, 200 bags back. So the thought or the expectation is we're going to get, you know, that much. Well, guess what? Those bags were coming in to even Saturday morning after the people had left. There were still people bringing in bags of food. Now, that's grace. That's mercy. That's the miracle of God. That's this wonderful thing that you and I can't do on our own. We're not that self-righteous Pharisee. The one who makes it is one who lays themselves out before the Lord and says, Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner. It's by Christ's forgiveness that you and I are made righteous before God. You and I are made right wise with God. We're in a right relationship with God, and it's up to us to keep it there. But you know what? Oh, Paul said, the good that I would do, that I don't do. The evil I would not do, that I do. Woe is me. It would almost drive you to despair, right? Because you and I can't get there no matter how hard we try. But when we trust in Jesus, when we trust in His mercy and His grace, when we trust in His love, and we walk humbly with Him, then we can be justified. Because He makes us right with God through his sacrifice. And our faith, unwavering and complete in him. We don't have to know how he's going to do it. We just know he's going to do it. He's going to stand with us before that judgment seat, and he's going to say, open the book. The Lamb's Book of Life, and your name is written there in blood. Christ's blood. So, are you counting on your self-righteousness? Or are you counting on Jesus' justification? I'm counting on Christ. I hope and pray that you are as well. Shalom.